everyone, and welcome to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. It's time for December football. The Kansas City Chiefs now head into four tough games, starting this week with the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals started off winning 9 of their first 10 games, very similar to the Kansas City Chiefs of 2013. But the Cardinals need this game as well, as they're trying to hold off the challengers in the rock-hard NFC West. We'll get you ready for December football like no other show can. We'll start with wide receiver Dwayne Bowe, who statistically is the best wide receiver in Chiefs history. Now, he hit it off immediately with Chiefs head coach Andy Reid when the Big Red coach came to town. But now, Big Red Andy Reid needs his wide receiver to step up in these key games. And speaking of stepping up, we'll have defensive coordinator Bob Sutton, and he'll talk about how his defense is ready to play tough December football. We'll also have an excerpt from our award-winning Chiefs Kingdom show. Our great 65 TPT crew will highlight Priest Holmes, the newest Chiefs Hall of Fame inductee, as we look specifically at the 2003 season, one of the greatest offensive years in recent NFL history. But let's get ready for December football in the desert, as BJ Kissel, our Chiefs reporter, gets you ready for the Chiefs and the Cardinals.
For the Chiefs to pick up their eighth win of the season, they're going to have to contend with a Cardinals defense led by defensive coordinator Todd Bowles that's been extremely impressive this season. One of the guys the Chiefs offense is going to have to account for in every single play is number 93, 6'8", 300-pound defensive end, Calais Campbell. Campbell is a rare 3-4 defensive end that can not only play 5 technique out, head up on a tackle and play the run, but he can also slide in nickel and dime situations and get after the passer. He uses that 6'8", 300-pound frame well in disrupting passing lanes for quarterbacks, but he also has the leverage, even at 6'8", to bend his knees and get down below offensive linemen to play the run. Two players you will recognize on the outside for the Cardinals are veterans Antonio Cromartie and Patrick Peterson. When thrown their direction, Cromartie is allowing a quarterback rating of just 66.6, while Peterson is allowing a rating of 113.7 this season. One of the Cardinals' best defensive backs, Tyrann Mathieu, better known as the Honey Badger, will not play in this game as he just underwent thumb surgery, which is a huge blow for the Cardinals' defense because he's been a standout player for them when he's been out on the field. The Cardinals are led on the offensive side of the ball by quarterback Drew Stanton, who had to step in for the injured Carson Palmer, who went down in Week 10 with a knee injury. In 7 games this season, Stanton is 4-3 as a starter, and he's completed 55% of his passes with 6 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. But when you look at this Chiefs defense and what they've done over the past 3 weeks, the blueprint is out there to run the ball against this team. Against the Seattle Seahawks, Oakland Raiders, and Denver Broncos combined, the Chiefs defense has given up 597 yards rushing. When I spoke with Arians earlier this week, he told me it's not as simple as just mirroring what the last 3 opponents have done against this Chiefs defense. His offense really hasn't run the ball that well this season, as they rank 31st in the NFL, rushing for just 74.8 yards per game. Something to watch for as we get closer to game time on Sunday is Cardinals starting running back Andre Ellington will be a game time decision as he is dealing with a hip pointer injury. With 201 carries this season, Ellington is responsible for almost 70% of the total rushes for the Cardinals offense. The next highest guy is Stephon Taylor, who has only 25 carries this season. But even more importantly, Ellington is also tied for the team lead with 46 receptions this season. He is a huge part of this Cardinals offense, and that is something to watch as we get closer to game time. Is Ellington going to play, and how effective will he be if he is out on the field? Another player to watch on the outside who's been making waves this season is rookie receiver John Brown, who played at nearby Pittsburgh State University. Anybody who watched any Division II football or MIAA football in the area was already aware of Brown, but now he's made his mark on the NFL as he leads the Cardinals with 5 touchdown receptions this season and also leads the team with 76 targets. The Chiefs are going to have to be aware of where Brown's at all times, as he's proven to be a playmaker at the NFL level.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Chiefs. And by Truman Medical Centers, TMC and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community. Coming up on Chiefs Insider.
For us in our present situation, obviously, we kind of have 4 one-game seasons, and all our emphasis and all our focus, you know, has to be on this present game because it's the only one that really matters to us.
Welcome back to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. If one thing is certain about this Kansas City Chiefs defense this year, it has been that they are very resilient. Chiefs defensive coordinator Bob Sutton has a group that seems to get tougher as the opponent gets closer to the goal line. 19 times, they had to defend Peyton Manning inside the 20 and held him without a touchdown. That's hard to do. Well, what about Bob Sutton and his defense getting ready to play December football? Bob, my theme this week, it's December football. It's time. What about your defense playing December football?
Well, at this time of the year, one, you're excited that you're in a position to make all of these meaningful games. And for us in our present situation, obviously, you know, we kind of have 4 one-game seasons. And all our emphasis and all our focus, you know, has to be on this present game because it's the only one that really matters to us. I think when you get down to December football and it's meaningful, it's going to demand that you be, you know, physical, demands that you're tough. You got to be able to win at home or on the road if you want to keep going this thing. So I think our players are tested in this area. You know, we've had a stretch here where we've had to play really well to make up for the slow start, and I think it's going to pay off for us here.
Justin Houston, I wish I could take the tape and show every high school football player in the Chiefs Kingdom his game last week. 8 tackles, 2 deflections, a sack strip of Manning. How complete is he becoming as a player?
Justin, and deservedly so, gets a lot of recognition for his ability to rush the passer, and it is well deserved. You know, he's an outstanding rusher, but, you know, he does a lot of things for us. A lot of them are based on awareness, just like those quick drops where he got his hands up on 2 of those balls down there in the red zone, you know, which were huge plays, you know, because any PBU's appreciated, any sack's appreciated, any of the, but when it's third down, that means it's the change of possession or, you know, you're taking the touchdown out of it and it's a field goal now. So those are huge plays, and, you know, he's done a great job in all aspects, played the run very well there. Overall, did a good job in the passing game as well as far as coverage.
Final question. Your group seems to be battle-tested. They've had to overcome a whole lot. The Barry sickness and the injury to DJ early in the year and DeVito. How is your group, even compared to a year ago, more ready, I guess, for December football?
I think one thing that's happened in this whole season, you know, that there's kind of been a process that we've got to push through no matter what. First it was replacing players, then it was overcoming the start. I always think of our friend Ron Parker, you know, who's had to do a lot of different jobs and just never blinks an eye. We go out of corner, I'll come back to say it there, go out to corner, come back. And I think all that builds a certain degree of toughness or grit that you have. And that's the one thing this group's done a great job of, been reflected in their ability to, you know, stand tall in the darkest of moments, you know, when you're in the shadows of your own goal line. And these guys have just, you know, they fought like heck in those situations. Because listen, when you get down to this part of the season, every game is going to be tight. Everything's going to be tough. And you just have to persevere within the game, you know, and just keep going no matter what's happened. You know, I'm pretty confident these guys are going to be able to do that.
Playing at Arrowhead Stadium can be tough for opposing teams. But on the first football Sunday since 9/11, the Chiefs Kingdom rose to its feet to cheer the visiting New York Giants. Their support didn't stop with a standing ovation. Fans passed a fireman's boot around Arrowhead, collecting over $220,000 in donations for relief efforts. The Chiefs matched that mark for a grand donation of over $450,000, the largest single-day outpouring of support by a group of fans ever.
There's no stadium like Arrowhead on game day, but it was different on that day. And I promise you, every person in that stadium that day said, "Home of the Brave," rather than "Home of the Chiefs" at the end of the national anthem.
When we return on Chiefs Insider.
All we got to do is figure out the formula, and then sometimes it takes losing to understand what you got to do to win. And I think guys now know from these 2 losses to combine everything we did when we won 5 straight.
Welcome back to the show. Dwayne Bowe was the Chiefs' number one draft pick in 2007. And statistically, he has more catches than any Chiefs wide receiver in franchise history. But over the years, Dwayne Bowe has a strong conduit to the fans of the Chiefs Kingdom. We had him wired for the Denver Broncos game, and that connection is very evident.
Since my rookie year, the people in this town and the city just make you feel loved and make you feel like you're doing something right, no matter if you're winning or you're losing. And that's why I take my time out to acknowledge them, to let them know that it's real. And the love I have for them is real, and the love they have for me is real.
I want you to have these.
Thank you. I can't even explain it. It's something internal, man, that I get from them. It gives me a rush. And to see their face when I walk up to them to give them a hug or a glove or a football, and to get the letters the next week in my locker saying that it was a life-changing experience. And I just remember when I was a kid, you know, my life-changing experience of meeting Jerry Rice and things like that.
I got you, Pops.
It makes me want to be that guy someone had a life-changing experience about. To be able to interact with one of their favorite players.
We're going to do it for you tonight.
Thank you, Pops. God bless you. Thank you,
Bo. It brings some kind of warmness to your heart to play for those people, and that's the reason I play my tail off. This past weekend, Thanksgiving, me and Sherman delivered some food to an unfortunate family. And no matter what they go through, you know, they want to see the Chiefs win, and for us to just being a part of something special, it drives you to just keep going more and more and more, and the more love you get, the more you want to do, and that's why we do it.
How about those Chiefs?
He wants the best for you, and he knows how to get it out of a player. And to be around a coach that also you can look for as a father figure, it helps your game. The whole team, he treats everybody like their son and like a man. And once you know that philosophy, you play good football.
Hey, why not right now? Why not right now?
I think the more you win, the more it's magnified. And I've always been the same person, but
let's go, hey, we need to move it.
When you have a great team around you,
one, two, three.
It makes you want to be a part of something special as an individual. I just lead by example. I think the young guys are very smart, and they follow their rule pretty well.
You ready?
Now, boy.
He's raw. You don't have to do much to get him to go. He's a natural leader. And I told him, I said, your time will come. You're being pulled in every room want a piece of you. So you gather all that information. You're going to become an impact player and giving the game day speeches and things like that. And he's a hard worker. And he just can't wait to his turn to be that player.
Now pattern right. Caught. Jason Avant. Welcome to the Chiefs Kingdom.
He's a leader by action. Brings poise to the room. That median level, I'm always uppity. And he's just smooth sailing. So he teaches the young guys, you know, how to be a very calm professional. All we gotta do is figure out the formula. Everybody look in the mirror, and then sometimes it takes losing to understand what you gotta do to win. And I think guys now know from these two losses to combine everything we did when we won five straight.
Bo and the rest of the offense have got to be at the top of their game this week as they go to the desert to face one of the NFC's top defenses in the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the gold standard of Kansas City offense, at least in the last 20 years, has been the 2003 Kansas City Chiefs. They featured one of the top offensive lines in the history of the NFL, in my opinion. And the centerpiece of that offense, the Chiefs' newest Hall of Fame member, Priest Holmes.
As a football fan, it is very rare that you get the sense that your team can do anything at once.
Here they come again. John Tate, Casey Wigman, and then Tony Richardson. That trio gets out front, and then you get Holmes that close to the goal line, and he will sniff it out.
The Chiefs were criticized all through the 90s for playing what was perceived as a plodding offensive style. So it was this complete transformation.
We had something real special. You got Willie Rofe, Will Shields, Brian Waters, Casey Wigman, Jason Dunn, too. You can never forget about him.
It was the best offensive team the Chiefs ever had. Ever.
It was almost as though the Chiefs could score at will.
Hand off Holmes. Big hole. Holmes accelerates to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And they hammer it right at it. Brian Waters, William Rofe, Casey Wigman, the center, puts a guy on his back. Oh, wow. What a well-run play by the Chiefs.
I think one of the things that is a tribute to him is that after a while that year, everybody knew what was coming, and they just couldn't stop it.
Priest Holmes behind Tony Richardson. Who would have imagined that? Oh, that's too easy, David. Just a little hop and a jump and a 6 more points for Kansas City.
You know, Trent Green fades back, pass rush coming in. He passes out to Priest Holmes in the flat. We saw that 100 times. And teams couldn't stop it.
We keep going. We keep going downhill. I don't think they can stop us. Good holes, good cutback. You're going downhill. You can see your vision. You're knowing where to go.
It'd be funny too in the huddle because we would all kind of light up. We'd look at each other like, "Yeah, we got him now." At some point in time, we knew, you know, Tony was going to make a great catch, or Priest was going to have a great run, or Trent was going to make an incredible throw.
Need a big play.
We were going to score.
Counter play, right side, Holmes, big hole, lowers the shoulder, bashes in, touchdown.
Whatever we wanted to do, we could do. We were dominating the field at that point.
Priest was the engine.
The Kansas City Chiefs have run 22 plays. 14 have been handled by Priest Holmes. Any questions why?
You know, when you put them together with that offensive line, we realize now in retrospect how great that group was.
They're going to have all 11 people up there. You know, the Bears know that they're going to go for it.
At the 2-yard line, handoff, Holmes countering, he dives into the end zone, touchdown! Priest Holmes has now set an all-time record for total touchdowns in a single season.
Well, it was, you know, a record that most people didn't think would be broken. He just kept scoring touchdowns. I don't think anybody wanted the end zone more than him.
The Chiefs had a number of very good running backs. They never had a running back who scored as often as he did.
Sometimes we get into the red zone, and we just knew at some given play, Priest is going to make a run.
You know, Priest had a nose for the end zone, and I think that's what people will talk about.
It said so much about him and our offense.
You always knew that if they were inside the 3-yard line, you knew who was going to get that touchdown.
Sounds like the most obvious thing in the world. How do you stop the Chiefs? Well, you have to stop Priest Holmes. It's a simple objective, but it was very difficult to do.
And you look at that number, it's insane. To score that many touchdowns in a given year, that was probably the highlight of my entire career. You know, it wasn't, you know, carrying the ball and rushing for touchdowns. It was helping Priest.
Richardson blocking. A 4-yard touchdown run, the second today by Priest Holmes.
And it was something special.
Thanks for joining us on this week's show. After the duel in the desert against the Arizona Cardinals, December football continues at home next week at Arrowhead Stadium. It's Raiders Week Part 2 as the Oakland Raiders come to the 39th parallel. And we'll get you ready for Payback Raiders Week right here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Chiefs. And by Truman Medical Centers, TMC and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community.
Trap.